Welcome back to the Trending 55 site. It's definitely very interesting times in Alberta, dealing with low oil prices, COVID, and now a new situation, as Dan. And one of these new situations that we were hit with is that obviously we know a really horrific evil tragedy took place in Nova Scotia. And in saying that, the federal government, did pass some legislation banning over 1,500 different types of assault weapons. Overall, I can imagine that knowing this riding very well, you must have received a few emails in the constituency inbox saying, Mr. Williams, we're not happy with this. Did you receive a lot of those?
Yeah, I got a lot of personal phone calls, emails, a lot of feedback from constituents that are concerned, and rightfully so. The people who are most concerned about the safety of others and gun violence and violent crime in Canada are often those who are law-abiding firearm owners and operators. And anyone who wants to make sure that we don't relive another tragedy should ultimately be really concerned about the virtue signaling that the federal government brought forward. If you care about safety, we should have meaningful policy that really does affect gun violence, not symbolic gestures that punishes safe firearm owners, ones who take it very seriously. We see the federal government trying to pit Albertans against Albertans and Canadians against Canadians. And I think it's really tragic that we're in a spot where these sorts of situations are being used for political gain rather than considering smart policy, like focusing on how illegal guns enter our country that are most often used for violent crimes, like the tragedy we saw earlier this month.
No doubt. And I know a joint statement came out between the Premier and the Justice Minister, both talking about that the real problem is the smuggling of illegal weapons, weapons that are not legal in Canada to begin with, crossing the border. In your opinion, do you think that that would be maybe, even though you're in the provincial legislature, do you think that that's maybe a better way to tackle this, is nailing it from where it comes from, and that's illegal sources in the United States or other countries?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I might be in the provincial legislature, but as a citizen of the country, like all the other citizens, I think it's incumbent upon our federal government to take thoughtful, responsible action to fight violent crime. I do not believe that the steps taken are meaningful in that, because the data and the evidence says otherwise. That's why I want to focus, like our Premier and our Minister of Justice said, on the real problem. That's tackling with the actual issue. That is these illegal weapons that are coming in across the border from the United States. That is the heart of our issue of violent crime and gun violence in the country. The heart of our issue are not responsible firearm owners. From coast to coast, urban, rural, Canadians want to make sure their government actually solves problems. They do not want it to virtue signal. And as a Canadian, I feel the same way.
Fair enough. Is there any action, or at least anything that is the province looking into it in terms of, can Alberta do anything about this?
Yeah, well, there are a number of different responses that we're considering, and the Minister of Justice with our legal team and in consultation with Cabinet and Caucus are going to look at the options we have in front of us. Many people have batted around the idea of appointing a chief firearms officer provincially. That's something that we're considering. That's something that was a possible suggestion by the Fair Deal panel that recently is finished its report and will return to government shortly after we deal with the crisis and the COVID. So these are issues that will be dealt with when the time comes appropriately. But all different options are on the table right now to make sure that we thoughtfully respond to what I think is thoughtless legislation.
And speaking of response, obviously, the party had been hearing, the government had been hearing, I should say, a lot about doctors in rural areas that have been expressing some frustration. And based on Minister Shandro's announcement a couple of weeks ago, it sounds like the government is taking serious action now to try and not only recruit but retain those physicians. And you being in Lacrete, from where you're from, you know how hard it is to get a doctor up there sometimes, not only to get him there or her there, but to stay.
Yeah, that's right. Recruitment and retention is a huge concern. And so much of the announcement that Minister Shandro brought forward almost 2 weeks ago now is about access to healthcare in rural Alberta. I value, as a caucus member of the United Conservative Party, having strong rural physicians in our communities That's why I made the case, along with my colleagues, that rural physicians be valued and access to healthcare be something that we ensure. And so we took forward a six-point plan with a number of different incentives, limiting the insurance cost of physicians, retaining the situation where office overhead is covered for physicians while they're in the emergency room, a number of others, but most importantly, the Rural Remote Northern Program has gone from previously being capped at approximately $60,000 to now being unlimited. So the more rural, the more remote, and more northern a physician is, the more incentivized they are to continue providing access to healthcare for rural Albertans. And that's something that I think is really important. And I've spoken to a number of physicians, and combined with all the different aspects of this, they're largely taken positively. I'm not going to speak for all physicians. I know everyone has in different positions, but I take seriously the concern, and I want to make sure that folks know that it's something that I will continue to advocate for rural healthcare in rural Alberta.
Now, I know a couple of weeks ago the NDP did release something, maybe ironically enough, 2 days before Minister Chandra made his announcement. They had released something, at least in saying that rural MLAs need to stand up to the health minister and whatnot. So safe to say for the for you and as well as your other rural colleagues of the UCP caucus, fair to say that obviously based on his reaction and the announcement a couple of weeks ago, Minister Chandra obviously has heard the concerns of the rural residents and rural MLAs, hasn't he?
Yeah, I need to say this. I know that there's been a lot of criticism about it around. I have every confidence in Minister Chandra. I'm very thankful to have him in there. It's because of his actions that we're able to focus on access to rural health care. Particularly, and he's been very receptive to a lot of the initiatives that we've put forward in Rural Caucus to the point where we saw that announcement the other day. I couldn't be more grateful to have the team that we have in Edmonton.
Okay, awesome. And also, as we know, at the end of last week, the Premier sent us into the weekend on an optimistic note in the fact that Alberta's talking about its relaunch strategy. And I know personally, me, not only as a reporter, but as a resident, I'm very excited that things are starting to open up a little bit, and I guess everybody else in the riding must be pretty excited that life, at least slowly but surely, is going to start coming back to normal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's important for us to understand, as we go through the crisis of COVID-19, we will have to look at how to reopen the economy and our society safely. Safety is our highest concern in the government, but we also understand that the public health measures that we take have social, economic, and therefore human consequences. And that's why we're balancing it, and we're understanding how to get open as soon as possible in the safest way possible. It's our number one priority, and it's something I've heard a lot of feedback from. Earlier, I was just on a call with the Rotary Club, and I speak regularly to the Chambers of Commerce across the constituency and many businesses. A lot of the folks that are the backbone of Alberta, especially rural Alberta. And just like you, we want to know how to get open and how to get it as safely and as quickly as possible. And so that's why we took the steps last week to open immediately a number of different issues, golf courses, boat launches, a lot of issues surrounding mental health for recreation in the outdoors, allowing Albertans to participate in those activities and have those restrictions lifted. You can see a lot of those details at alberta.ca and click on the relaunch strategy. And you can see the first stage begins in earnest for a lot of different retail and businesses and activities that are affected on May 14th. Where we're going to see a lot more details rolled out on how these businesses and different activities can be opened up and be done safely.
Fair enough. And I guess the final question to you here, Dan, maybe a bit of a personal one. Number one, do you golf once in a while? And number two, if you do, are you looking forward to taking that first swing?
Well, I'm not a golfer. For the safety of everyone within the vicinity, I don't do it often. But I've just been itching like everyone else to get outside. I might be soliciting one of our very fine golf courses in the Peace Country this weekend and seeing if I can't get a few swings in.
Always fun. Dan, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us today.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Kenny.
All right. This is Dan Williams, MLA for Peace River on the Trending 55 site.